I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. President John Kennedy's most enduring legacy was born exactly 50 years ago.
I have today signed an executive order providing for the establishment of a Peace Corps on a temporary pilot basis.
Kennedy promised to send people overseas to assist in teaching, agriculture, and health.
We will send Americans abroad who are qualified to do a job. We will send those abroad who are committed to the concept which motivates the Peace Corps. It will not be easy. None of the men and women will be paid a salary. They will live at the same level as the citizens of the country which they're sent to, doing the same work, eating the same food, speaking the same language.
The Peace Corps became something of a celebrity agency. Its first director was the irrepressible Sergeant Shriver. And in 1966, the agency reached an all-time high in the number of volunteers who were serving overseas. Elizabeth Cobbs Hoffman is the author of All You Need Is Love, The Peace Corps and the Spirit of the 1960s. She's in San Diego. Cobbs Hoffman says the Peace Corps came along at just the right time.
The Peace Corps was created really kind of an electric moment when colonialism was collapsing all around the world and when the Cold War was at its height. And the United States wasn't alone in this. We tend so often, I think, to think of the Cold War as being ours or ours with the Soviet Union, but really it was truly the West. And in fact, the first countries that sent Peace Corps-type volunteers were Australia and Great Britain, to take nothing away from Kennedy at all. In fact, I think it's part of what made Kennedy so special is that he spoke for this worldwide impulse to reach out to these decolonizing countries. But they were also trying to achieve alliances. This was about surviving the Cold War. And so there was always this sense, as these countries were, you know, suddenly appearing on the scene, of, you know, anxiety about which side are they going to be on. And so there was a great eagerness to reach out to them for strategic reasons.
So how popular was the Peace Corps immediately after its creation, and how much has its image and popularity changed over the decades?
Well, the Peace Corps was insanely popular. The U.S. Information Agency did a surreptitious little survey, a poll in Europe, and they found that the name recognition of the Peace Corps was second only to Smokey the Bear. It was something where people were really excited about it. And they were excited about it all across the U.S. and even in Europe. I happened to talk with a young man. Well, he had been young when he volunteered for what became the Dutch version of the Peace Corps. And he said, we all just wanted to get on our motorbikes and ride to Paris. Mm-hmm. And Kennedy was somebody who inspired that kind of enthusiasm and verve.
How do you think the Peace Corps' fortunes have shifted over the years with the changing political winds? Because not all White House administrations have had the same view of the Peace Corps.
That's absolutely true. And the Peace Corps has this odd chameleon-like ability in a way, which is that it doesn't exactly take on the complexion of different administrations, but it's something that appeals to Americans of all stripes. When it first came out, there were criticisms. And in fact, Richard Nixon, never a fan of the Peace Corps, was rather critical. But Barry Goldwater loved it. He said, I'll back it all the way. Now, when Kennedy was killed so sadly, so tragically, on the day after that, the Peace Corps had more applications than on any other day in its history because people were so inspired to take up the torch that it had been passed, as Kennedy had put it. Now, Nixon, however, thought that Peace Corps was a public relations disaster because so many of the volunteers turned out to be critical of the administration's policies in Vietnam. He wanted to kill it, basically.
And where does it sit today? I mean, especially now with, you know, budget cuts, and it's probably viewed by many people as not terribly necessary.
Again, it's got this staying power. I'm not exactly sure where it stands in the budget at this very moment. But today, the Peace Corps has 8,600 volunteers. The Peace Corps at its very height had about 15,000 volunteers. So maybe 8,600 doesn't sound like a lot. But for the 20 years between 1976 and 1996, there were only about 6,000 volunteers. So right now, we have essentially a 40% increase over the doldrum years. So it actually seems to be roaring back. And what's really amazing is the Peace Corps has been invited in around the world and been there and stayed there for decades without interruption. Places like Ghana, where I traveled, where the Peace Corps arrived in August of 1961, and they're still there today. You can hardly meet an educated person in Ghana and not meet someone who says, oh, I had a Peace Corps teacher. They taught me math or some such thing.
Yeah, it's pretty striking. I mean, there are a lot of countries around the world where there seems to have been an American in just about every podunk village because of the Peace Corps.
Yeah, it's this lovely undercurrent, and I think that that's probably the greatest strength of the Peace Corps. Now, that said, by the way, no American goes in, as you well know, Marco, and changes the destiny of any village or any country any more than a handful of volunteers sent to the United States would change our economy. But it creates this sense of human solidarity. There was a lovely, lovely African revolutionary I met who had been a close associate of Kwame Nkrumah, the first black African leader to achieve independence. And he said, we felt that we were part of the world. And when Peace Corps volunteers came to us and met with our village chiefs, we felt that the world saw us.
Originally a big thrust of the Peace Corps, Elizabeth, was promoting America's image abroad. How much does that idea still play in 2011? I mean, from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to the power of Hollywood, there are a lot of competing factors influencing the U.S. image abroad these days.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there were in the 60s, too, Marco. Do you remember that thing called the Vietnam War?
Right.
So many people thought, gosh, why do we have a Peace Corps? Here we are at war. And you know, a famous slogan in the 60s was, America, love it or leave it or whatever. And there was a Peace Corps volunteer poster that said, make America a better place, leave the country. What they meant by that was go abroad, show another side of America, and importantly, be another kind of American. Sustain that element of American identity, which has taken us through many wars, civil wars, wars abroad, foreign wars, and has enabled us still as a people to have a sense that there's some bigger and better reason why we're in the world.
Elizabeth Cobbs Hoffman, a national fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and the author of All You Need Is Love, The Peace Corps and the Spirit of the 1960s. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Many listeners have stopped by our website to share their stories from the Peace Corps. Michael Gillette worked as an HIV counselor in Botswana. He writes of his first day, I walked wearily to my assigned house at the end of the village, a house without running water or electricity that would, for the next 2 years, be my home. I went to bed defeated and alone, wondering how I could cope with the gravity of what I was facing. But Gillette concludes, 4 years have passed since the end of my Peace Corps service. The dust-tinged images of life in the Kalahari and the smell of fire and earth have faded, but the experience I gained has lost none of its power or vigor. You are invited to become part of our growing community of Peace Corps veterans. Just add your story and video to the World's Peace Corps webpage and answer these two questions. What was your best day in the Peace Corps and what was your worst? That's at theworld.org/Peace Corps.